Milwaukee Adventure, Mulkey. Do not answer the phone if that calls. Holy shit.
Welcome to the Cold Fear Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Mulkey, and welcome to episode 19. I keep saying I'm going to make these more frequent. I keep failing. But you know what? I'm enjoying doing them, and it's just been a busy couple of months. But I've already got a couple lined up here, so I'm psyched to start sharing more of the podcast with you. Got some really great responses from episode 18. People really liked that conversation, which is weird because episode 19 is a very similar conversation. And I sit down with Stephen Dunavant, and you probably haven't heard of Stephen, but he's probably one of the most psyched ice climbers and motivated ice climbers I've ever met. And I won't get into kind of how I met him, but you know, it was 3 years ago. And the basis of this story is that, you know, Stephen used to weigh about over 300 pounds. And over the last year or so has lost over 75 pounds. He ice climbed when he was 300 pounds. He ice climbs now. He's just that much stronger. His endurance is incredible. In fact, I spent a couple of days roaming in the mountains with him climbing and was really quite blown away. I mean, I've gone climbing with a lot of people, and he was above average for most people that get out, and especially on the Cody approaches, which are not easy. So, you know, this podcast is for somebody, if you're looking for some extra motivation in your life, this is going to be a really great one, because what Stephen has overcome to get to where he's at today is pretty amazing. And I definitely asked him a lot of kind of challenging questions. And I hope that you really enjoy it. Yeah, Stephen has been a motivating factor for me. So not only have I motivated him, he's also motivated me. And I think that's kind of the beautiful partnership. And social media has kind of brought that out. We talk a little bit about social media and what role that plays for him. But at the end of the day, this is a story about a guy that has overcome a lot, is very determined, incredibly motivated, and honestly, the nicest guy you'll meet. You know, he's one of those guys you meet and he leaves an impression on you. And he, you know, Stephen's not the greatest climber by any means, but he's definitely the most psyched. And, you know, I think as I'm starting to go through this podcast and we're almost at episode 20, I'm starting to kind of feel a little bit of a niche. And really that niche is just having conversations with people that I'm excited about. Doesn't matter how hard they climb. Honestly, it doesn't even matter if they climb. It is simply just having good quality conversations with people that interest me. And I think that's going to be really where this podcast goes. And so I think, you know, maybe some will really interest you and some of you won't. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you following. And as always, if you enjoy these podcasts, please share on social media, tag at Cold Fear. I'd really appreciate that. And on the next podcast, I'm going to share, I actually got a really great email from Steve House, which I think we're going to have him on. So be looking forward to having Steve House on here, I think. He and I are going to confirm up some dates. I'm very excited about that. Yeah, thanks for listening. Enjoy, and we'll chat with you soon. All right, Stephen, you're officially on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Aaron.
Well, I'll do a quick little introduction here, Stephen. Do you go by Stephen or Steve?
Stephen.
I thought so, Stephen.
Yeah.
So for everybody who doesn't know, I'm sitting here with Stephen Dunavant.
Dunavant, yeah.
Dunavant. Yeah, I nailed that one. Good. I am trying to think when you and I met, and I know when we met, it was in Ouray.
Yes.
4 years? 3 years?
3 or 4 years.
Three or four years ago.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Okay. And at that point, you were where in your ice climbing career?
Oh, I guess the first time I climbed ice was actually about 10 years ago to this season. I didn't really get serious about it until maybe 6 or 7 years ago, where I was coming up to Colorado frequently.
Okay.
To climb ice and backcountry ice.
Nice. Okay. So, all right. So 10 years ago. And so just for everybody listening, kind of give them who's Steven?
I'm from East Texas, Longview, Texas.
You don't hear many ice climbers from East Texas.
No.
And especially not Longview, Texas. Right. Although we happen to know the same person, but we'll get into that later.
Yes, yes. I married to Judy 35 years now. Got a couple of boys.
Nice.
Have lived in pretty much Longview my life. I've went around a little bit when I was much younger with the family, but I'm self-employed. I have a transportation business, a trucking company.
Nice.
Doing that for the past 17 years.
Wow.
Which has allowed me some flexibility in my schedule to get out and kind of do some big things.
Yeah.
So, I started this adventuring, I guess 10 or 15 years ago even. The ice climbing came in, 10 years ago when Judy and I were in Ouray for Christmas. We had not done, we'd been to Ouray a bunch prior to that. And if you go back even further, my parents took my brothers and I to Ouray back in 1980. So forever ago.
Long time.
And I remember just being mesmerized with the mountains around that town. And so you fast forward about 20 years. And I told Judy, I said, we've got to go back to Ouray. And so that led to jeeping and then hiking and seeing the mountains. But there was always a part of me, we'd be out in a Jeep and I'd see a trail going off in, you know, in a direction and a hiking trail. And I'd say, what's over there? So that led to hiking. And then eventually we came back again to Ouray for that Christmas. And for one of my presents, I said, I've heard about this ice park they have here. And I'd like to get a guide and go to the park and climb ice. I've never done that before. I've never had crampons on or swung an ice tool. I'm from East Texas. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Nobody's heard of it.
Yep.
And so I did. I called up San Juan Mountain Guides, and my buddy Bill Grass was the designated guide that morning. And we went to the park, and it was just something I never thought that I would ever do. I had, again, sharp pointy crampons on my feet, and I was swinging ice tools into ice and hanging off a rope. And it was just one of the coolest things I've ever done. And so that turned into coming back the next year, maybe twice that year and three times the next year. And then I found out that, you can go out in the backcountry and climb natural waterfalls.
And I think this set the stage of this a little bit. And one of the things that I think is remarkable about you, there's many of them, but at that point in time, when you first tried ice climbing, you were a big dude.
Yeah.
How much did you weigh?
Back then, probably, I can't say for sure, but 340, 330.
Wow.
Yeah. Big.
Okay.
Way too big.
Still had the same stoke level.
Yeah. Yeah, my mind was right. I wanted to do it, but I didn't have the vehicle to do the things that my mind wanted to do.
That's crazy.
I was doing some things, but I was always gassed, and I was just having to take breaks, and of course, it did limit me to a lot of things that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I was trying to get there. I just couldn't seem to figure out how to get there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like, that was opening day for you, for kind of things to come in the mountains, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And people at home are always like, well, you're always going to Ouray. And I said, there's so much to do.
Yeah.
The mountains are endless. There's the possibility. The list is so long.
Yeah.
And there's things there and around that I haven't done yet that now with this new vehicle I have, I'm the list is even longer than it's ever been.
Yeah. And to give that away a little bit, because I think it's really a key part of the story, and people that are listening, I think the story kind of collaborates here in Cody. And you've lost now 75 pounds more since then at that point. At what point, all that's ridiculously remarkable. So I know it's that when I met you, it had been 3 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
I was like,
you were full of stoke, like one of the most stoked people at the Uri Ice Festival, which is saying a lot. And you left, like, I mean, immediately, like, I knew, and I'm not really good with people's names. I forget them all the time, but I knew exactly who Steven was. Like, you're that type of individual. When somebody meets, it's pretty tough to forget your name. Like, you make an impression on people. You didn't make an impression. You made an impression on me because of your stoke and everything else, but I was also like, this is a big guy.
Yeah.
You're a fish out of water in Uri for the most part, you know? But I was like, man, this guy is so stoked to be out here climbing. Like, doesn't care what stereotypes are out there. Doesn't care, like, if he's not climbing the hardest thing. Like, he doesn't care. He is just psyched to be here. Like, pure enjoyment of the sport at its best. And I think that resonated with me because I've been doing it a long time, you know? And I think you kind of forget, like, wow, you know, this sport can change people's lives. Yeah. And I feel like you're one of those people that the sport really changed. It changed your life a lot. And so was there a point where you're like, man, I really want to get serious? Because it's 10 years ago. You're here now. Like, what kind of give me a little bit of a timeline of kind of how things went for you and your climbing career there.
So if you back up to the summer of 22, one of my friends, Micah Lukowitz, Splitter Alpine Adventures, he puts out a newsletter at some point during the year. I want to say it was summertime, maybe fall. And one of his things that he's really good at is getting around the North Cascades. And he posted even on Instagram around that same time of a picture of the bivy camp up there. And I love Instagram because it provides some stoke, you know, when you see people out doing big things. And he posted a picture. And I said to myself, I sat there and stared at it for a minute. And I said, I want that. And so when he sent out the newsletter, I reached out to him and I said, I'm interested in doing Chuckson, Mount Chuckson, via the Sulfide Glacier route. And he said, okay. So we started talking and he said, what are your strengths and weaknesses? And I said, well, strengths, I understand procedures and knots and gear and all of that. But my weaknesses, very clearly, it's my stamina. So we set up a schedule, a timeline to do Shucks, and we added an extra day. He said, you know, whatever we got to do to make it work for you. And I said, okay. Well, in my mind, I said, I don't want an extra day. I want to do it like everybody else. And I said, and this was in December of 22. And I said, I think I can do something about this. And I had lost a few pounds, just maybe coincidentally. And I said, let's really focus on this. I'd kind of given up. I was doing big things, but I just felt like I was always going to be a big guy.
Huh.
I didn't know if it was genetics or DNA or whatever. I just said, this is kind of the lot I've been given, and let's just make the most of it. Well, that December, I said, you know, let's start working on the diet a little bit. Let's start walking. Let's do some things and see what we can get traction with. And
because leading up to that, you weren't doing gym training. You weren't like, you were just kind of go to Texas. You'd be living your life, running your business, and then you'd escaped, go do some climbing and go do things. And okay, so training became a piece of your life around this point in time.
And you know, I'd been going to the climbing gym for several years and thought, okay, they don't, I was climbing the best I could, as hard as I could, but I still wasn't losing anything. Huh. And I thought, well, you know, I'm doing the things, it's just not coming off. And so eventually the first of 23, I started seeing some change. The pounds were coming off a little bit at first it was 10 pounds and then it was 15 and then it was 20. I said, wow, we've got something going here.
Yeah.
And so then it became, when Micah and I set a date, for late July, I put it on the calendar. I said, this is what I'm going for. And I want to be at this number by the time I go. And that number happened to be what I sort of calculated was the weight of my pack. I was going to lose in body weight. So, and then when the spring came around and I could ride my bike every evening, I was riding 10 to 12 miles every evening, 7 evenings a week, religiously.
Huh.
And it just started, the word traction comes to mind. I just started getting hold of kind of what I needed to do, and it daily rituals turned into weight loss.
What do you think triggered it? Like what was it, the goal to go and climb that route? Was that the trigger? What triggered it that you had to do something else in order to start, you know, training for these other things you wanted to accomplish? Like, was there a moment? Was there something that happened?
I had wanted to lose weight for a long time, but I'd given up.
Huh.
I didn't think I was capable of losing weight. I just, again, I thought this was just kind of where I was.
Yeah.
And I was just going to make the most of it, keep doing, trying big things.
Yeah.
And just sort of live the life. And then when I started to lose, I realized I can.
Oh.
I can. It will come off. And I guess in the larger context, I feel like I've been given a new lease on life. I didn't have a near-death experience.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a wreck, or I didn't have an accident. But largely, that's the way I felt, that I now have a new chance to live a much longer life than what I previously had. And that is kind of what's been motivating me.
Yeah.
Of course, going up Shucks and then getting that summit was nice. That's what started it. But
and when did you do that?
July 27th, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it in the same time everybody else did it?
Yeah, 3 days.
Nice.
Day up. And then we summited the second day and hiked out the third. It was amazing.
How'd that feel?
It was, I said it in my Instagram post. There was no shortage of emotion on top. I just broke down because that was goal achievement.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. I didn't. Well, it's like so many other things that have happened this year or last year. I, you size up an objective and you think, previously I just said, well, I'll do the best I can. If I don't make it, I've done what Steven could.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't summiting or getting the route done or having to back off or choosing a less steep grade. But now there's nothing off the radar. My self-confidence is through the roof.
Yeah.
And now I have the vehicle and the mindset to try kind of anything that I want. I'm not scared.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, and you're continuing to just go at this point. Like I'll get to that question. So what would you tell other people that, and not, because your story to me isn't necessarily, the weight loss is a piece of it. The other piece I think is the way you're motivated. You've had this, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, you run a business, you're very busy, you've got a family, you've got all these things going on. But your motivation is high. And I think a lot of people struggle with that, right? Like they struggle, like, especially you're in Texas, you're nowhere near the mountains. You're the furthest from it, you know?
Yeah.
So what would you tell people that, you know, they really like doing these things, but man, I can't seem to kind of get my feet in front of me and move forward in this. Like, how do you think you accomplished those things?
I have on my phone an objective list, things that I want to do. And I guess I would look at that list periodically, at least for me, and I would say, what do I need to do to get that done? Whether it's scheduling a week or a few days or knocking this off when I'm doing this other thing or whatever. That's a great question.
I mean, why do you think you're so motivated? Putting you on the spot.
I guess that's a great question.
And do you think, well, let's back it up then. Were you always that motivated?
Boy, you asked some good ones. Yeah, I think so. Maybe for other things.
I mean, you have a successful business, so I imagine that took up some motivation there and focus.
Yeah.
But then 10 years ago, something switched.
Well, I guess I go back to the first time I went climbing ice, and I just saw how rad that was to put on crampons and swing tools, and you're in this beautiful gorge covered with ice and doing something I never thought that I would be able to do ever. And then to go out of the park into the backcountry and climb natural ice. And really that translates to other things. I love mountains. So there's rock climbing as well. There's all sorts of adventure things that really push me. What do I have? What's left in the tank? What am I still capable of?
Yeah.
You know, I'm 56. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this. Much longer now, I can tell you that.
Oh,
but not forever. So seize the moment, you know. I don't want to use a overworked phrase, but, you know, it's carpe diem, you know.
Yeah.
Just
And I know we talked about this when we were out climbing, that your doctor told you you've extended your life by, what was it, 15 years or something like that?
Well, I doubled it.
Doubled it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That means there's a whole lot more time to go do other stuff.
Yeah. And not just more time, but more quality time. I was doing things as a big man.
Yeah.
But now I can go for a long time.
Yeah.
I've still got some to go, but my fitness level, I don't know that I've been this physically fit in, I don't know how many years, long time. Maybe high school.
I mean, we spent 2 days together and you're very fit. I've climbed with a lot of people, climbed with people half your age that definitely are not as fit as you were and are, I should say. It's something to be said for, you know, at 56. Because, I mean, honestly, let's be honest. Most people don't even, you know, take the weight out of it.
Yeah.
At your age are not very fit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I know.
They're not going to make it too far from the car.
I know.
And I think that's one of the things that's also pretty amazing. I wouldn't have given you your age. I think, you know, we were talking the other day. I was like, I was thinking, you know, mid-late 40s, same as me. Apparently not.
Yeah.
Gives me some goals as well. What's next on the list for you right now?
Objectives or physically?
No, objectives.
Objectives. I'm hoping to get to the Vail area in late March and climb either the Rigid Designator or the Fang, one or the other.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on which one is the best looking.
Yeah.
If you reach out a little bit further, there was a potential. I was going to try to go to Alaska in April and get to the Ruth Gorge and climb Ham and Eggs up the Moose's Tooth. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but it's definitely on the radar.
Yeah.
I got a big one done in Eureka. I'm losing track of months. Maybe a month or two ago, I got Stairway to Heaven done. That was a big one for you.
Yeah, that was like the, that was all the work you had done over the summer months.
Yes.
Kind of coming to fruition for you to kind of, that was your check ride. Yeah. That was, we were going out and let's see how this new engine runs.
That was an amazing day. I've walked by Stairway a handful of times on the way to First and Second Gully and down the road even. And I'd look over there at it with intimidation. And when I went back this last time, I had a different mentality. I just was like, let's do this. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And I did it. And there was actually a couple of bonus pitches at the top. We finished those and I felt fantastic. Just another huge proud moment. There was some emotion up there as well.
Yeah.
These big things for me are just genuinely huge. I never thought I'd be up at the top of that. It's just a massive route up there and multiple pitches and it's not easy, you know, it's hard, but I thought I got this. I can do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got that done and I was actually talking to some people about Bridal Veil Falls yesterday, and they were reaching out saying, we see what you did up there in Cody. You can do Bridal Veil. Yeah. So
I agree with
that. That's on the list.
I think you're one of the few people that I've met, and this is something I really struggle with, is being happy where you are. And I feel like most people are never happy where they are. You know, it doesn't matter. And I'm talking any part of your life, you know, like being happy where you are is difficult. We always want more. That's the human nature these days, is always want more. But I feel like you're a person that has found that secret to just be, you're happy where you're at today. Like where you're at today is great. This is freaking awesome. And you're going to soak every bit of that up. Yeah, you have goals. You have other things you want to do and you stay focused on that, but you're not. My focus is always on where I want to be and not where I'm at today. How do you see that in yourself, that you're really happy with who you are, where you are now?
Yeah, especially with my health. But I think largely it's about kind of where I am physically in terms of where I am in the world. You know, when we were walking out to Cabin Fever, a couple of days ago, and just that whole zone, I hope one day I get back to Cody to climb, but if I don't, I want to know that I absorbed every single second. Those long approaches, that just gave me more time to look around and see what's up and listen to the river. And it's appreciation for what I'm being allowed to do.
And I know as we were hiking in and hiking out, all of a sudden I would lose you and I'd look back and you would be standing there just looking around, taking it in.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a reminder to me of, I mean, I love the South Fork. The South Fork is incredibly special to me, but it reminded me that I probably take that place for granted sometimes. And then again, that just took me back to that place where like, you figured out how to be really happy where you are in that moment. And in fact, the 2.5 days, we'll call it, that I've spent with you, I've not really hurt. You haven't beat yourself up. You haven't said, I wish I was going to be here and doing this. It was kind of, everything's pretty positive about yourself. You're not really negative about yourself. You might have negative thoughts. I'm sure you do. We'll get into that, but you kind of keep yourself motivated and good. And I don't know, you just don't see that in a lot of people. You know, I think I don't see it in myself. You know, when I have a good friend of mine, Ryan Vachon, is always like, man, you just need to, you know, be happy with where you are. Like, this is your life today. Like, be happy with that. Like, maybe you're not climbing where you want to today. That's fine. But man, enjoy what you got going on right now, because we're pretty lucky, you know?
Yeah, I get the kind of the same reaction when I'm with guides in Colorado, Uray, and I'm walking up Camp Bird Road and I'm looking around and the mountains are huge. And some of them say, you know, I guess I kind of take this for granted because we're up here, you know, twice a week and it's kind of the mountains. And I'm like, man, if you ever lose focus on what this place is all about, you might need to reevaluate where you are, because it's amazing.
Yeah. But it wasn't like that for you. I mean, you were in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
So the mountains are not new to you. Being outside is not new to you. Climbing at the level you're climbing at, you know, when I say climbing, you're climbing with a rope, you know, you're doing other, that is new for you. And I want to kind of take you back to that first time ice climbing. Like, clearly something switched.
Yeah.
What do you think it was that switched? Like, clearly something just changed for you at that point in time.
Well, like, again, it's a great question. I guess I would go back to just how exciting it was for a guy from East Texas. I was doing things that I saw on National Geographic, you know, crampons and ice tools. Nobody does that at home. And I just thought it was a really unique opportunity, and I wanted to do more of it. I wanted to get better at it, and I wanted to enjoy it more.
Yeah.
And so that's, I guess, what happened in Switch 10 years ago. And then, you know, and I keep mentioning the backcountry, to go to a natural waterfall that's frozen, it's not man-made.
Yeah.
And you walk up to it. And well, sometimes you don't walk, you hike for a little ways to get there, as evidenced by the South Fork. And you get to see this beautiful frozen water, and you get to climb it. And it's a mental and physical challenge unlike anything I've ever experienced before. We all have challenges, you know, whether they're mental or physical. It's kind of rare, I think, that you get both. And to be put in a position where you kind of have to make it happen, and you've got to get up the courage and the strength somehow to get up the pitch, it really, and you mentioned being happy where I am. I am, but I also want to push a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
What do I have left? What can I do? And just keep sizing it up.
Yeah. I think the key there, and just, you know, to clarify, because you just said it, is like you're happy with that moment. You're happy with what you produced, like cabin fever. You were very happy with what you produced that day.
Yeah.
You have bigger goals, and that's great. But it's when you're able to look at that day and be like, man, that was freaking awesome, and not put yourself down.
Yeah.
That's key. I want to ask you, when you started, or even through the years, because you weren't the stereotype ice climber, did you ever get negativity from the climbing
no,
community?
No, like, always support.
Always support.
Always support.
Which is pretty incredible, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, boy, I mean, the climbing community, we can beat each other up pretty damn good.
always supportive.
That's
awesome.
I'll
be quick to say it.
Yeah.
You know, and really, it kind of... If I could turn it around a little bit, I'm a big believer in surround yourself with people you want to be like. And so I would see people in the climbing community that were 50 and 60 and 70, and they're getting after it, and they're healthy, and they're getting it done. And I said, I can do that. I can be that person. I don't have to be big. And so there's a lot of incentive there. I might not have figured it out immediately, but after a while I did. And I said, okay, I can do this. And I've got role models I want to look after. And in terms of fitness and objectives and just good humans.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, kind of mental space. And I, you know, every climber has an internal battle when they're climbing. You know, they see the objective or whatever it is. I know you kind of went through a few things on cabin fever.
Yeah.
Talk to me about like what's going on inside your head, and you're standing at the base and kind of working up through things, and maybe what have you done to work on those things? Because clearly you started, you know, at ground zero, and now you're climbing a much harder level. Like, talk to me about that.
You know, I always have some level of apprehension. I always have, no matter if it was a WI3 or WI5. But now I look at things a little differently. When we were approaching cabin fever, my mind, my old self, wanted to size up the whole thing and go, that's so tall. Look at that vertical piece. That ice doesn't look good. But now I say, okay, there's a little bulge there at the bottom. It's rampy up to the vertical piece. And, oh, look, Stephen, there's feet. And, you know, we can swing tools into that. We can step up. We can get rest. So I'm breaking it down. That's the biggest thing that I think I've taught myself or tried to learn, is to break the objective down into components or segments, and not just let the whole thing just look down on me.
Do you kind of break it down like, all right, let's get to that point.
Yes.
Then we'll figure out the next point. We'll get to that point, then we'll figure out the next.
Yeah. Where's my next tool going? Where are my feet going? You know, don't worry about what we've already done. Don't worry about what's ahead. Just move up. If it's incremental, it's incremental. Just 6 inches gets you to a new hook or a new placement or a new foot or whatever. And ultimately, I've learned this from one of my closest friends in climbing, is every now and then just stop when my mind is wanting to race and the anxiety level's really high. Just stop. If it's shaken out or whatever, but turn around and look away from what you're doing and just realize where you are in the moment.
Yeah.
Look out in the mountains, look in that amphitheater setting we were in. Take your mind off, just even briefly, just for a second.
Yeah.
And then refocus. Okay.
Like pumping the brakes a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So breaking it down. And that really, I guess it translates really well into life. Don't look at the big things. Get the smaller picture and just break it into segments and knock out one little thing at a time.
Yeah. What, since you've lost the weight and everything and you're training, has that changed the strength you have mentally?
Yeah. Well, my confidence is sky high.
Yeah.
I look at things totally different now. Now it's, okay, I've got the vehicle to get me there, and the mindset I think I've kind of always had. I've always wanted to do bigger things, but I just physically couldn't, even if I really, really pushed.
Yeah.
But now it's, cabin fever. When we turned the corner and saw the pitch, I was like, okay, but you're not who you used to be. You're a new guy.
Yeah.
So let's size this up and do what you know to do. And see what happens.
That's awesome. Do you feel like what you've learned through climbing has that rolled into other aspects of your life?
Yeah. Yeah, it has. Climbing, I think as we all know, there's a huge mental aspect, and it's easy to get overwhelmed. Again, kind of back to the analogy of cabin fever. It's easy to get overwhelmed, but if you just break things down at work, you know, we got a big problem going on. Well, what's the first step? Let's identify the issues here. And we solve one issue, maybe two, and then three. Let's just not worry about doing it all at once.
Yep.
Just take a systematic approach to problems.
Huh. Interesting. And you've gotten to travel and do a lot of these climbing things. How do you balance that with having a family and also your work?
Yeah. Well, I work. I've got a great guy that he helps me. He runs the place when I'm gone. In fact, he runs it all the time. I'm just kind of there to look at some documents every now and then. But David's amazing. And that's the larger picture, is my family, Judy and the boys. I think sometimes they're not quite sure what to make of what I'm doing, but when I send pictures home of, you know, what we climbed and the places I'm going and the views that I have, and they're fully supportive. Judy's proud of me, and I appreciate what she allows me to do so much.
I think it's so awesome in the conversations we've had of that your wife doesn't see climbing as, you know, your mistress or this other thing, like, and so she must see that it does something to you, and that when you come home, you know, you've become this other person.
Yeah.
You know, I know my wife is, she's like, you need to go out climbing. Like, she can almost see that energy level, you know, and the change happen. And so I think it's pretty awesome to see that she must see that these things bring an energy to you, and it's the energy, but it also is like has become you in a way, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Well, it, and the other part of that is that my motivation to climb also promotes health and exercise and activity. And so when I come home from work and I immediately change into some exercise clothes and go ride my bike for an hour and a half, you know, she's fully supportive of that. And I come home and, you know, I know she likes the healthier Steven. She's always loved me, but to see me now getting much smaller, I think is certainly a win.
If I had her sitting here and I said, Judy, what has ice climbing done to Steven? What do you think her answer would be? I'm throwing some tough ones at you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she would probably tell you it brings out a much younger Steven that's adventurous. And wow, that's a good one. we talk a lot about it, but not at that level.
I stumped
she,
on it.
She you did. She likes what's going on. You know, the places that I'm going, the things I'm seeing and doing, and the fact that it's, you know, it's keeping me young mentally.
Yeah. And she must see that, you know, it's almost as if, you know, we've had conversations and it's extremely difficult to get to where you've got at this point right now. Like the family, the business, and going and doing things is great, but the training that you had to do in order to lose the pounds and to continue to go out and go climb through that is something. And so obviously your daily routine was, you know, I think you said, was get up, go ride the bike, you know, you go to the gym in the evenings. She must be taking some satisfaction to see this, like seeing you, you know, reach these goals and achieve these objectives must also be incredibly gratifying to her as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I shared with you when we were out that, I've had a couple of conversations with her and I'd say, you know, hey, I know I'm coming home from work and immediately leaving again to either go to the gym or ride my bike in the summer. And I just, you know, she's like, that's, I love it. Get healthy. You're happy. We're good. Just keep doing what you're doing because it's going to turn into a longer life.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I imagine when you're home, like you're there, you're planted, you're engaged and everything else. And I'm sure that is really the key that I imagine what buys you the time to go do all these other things.
I try. I struggle in that area some.
Yeah.
My mind wants to wander, but, I try to be present. That's probably something I could work a little bit more on, but I do. You know, I come home and she's there, and got a couple of pooches at the house, and Blake and Trent. So yeah, we're happy.
Do you think that's gotten harder for you as you've lost the weight and now see all that you're capable of doing all these other things? Has that gotten harder because I'm sure when you get to being out in the mountains with you, you love the mountains, and putting you into Texas is like, I won't say it's putting you in jail, but it's you're putting yourself to the desert, right?
Yeah.
And I have to imagine as you become capable of doing all these other things, it's kind of like, you know, you're a dog that wants to fetch, you know, and that fetching's climbing.
I have to temper my activity level. I probably push my scheduling more than I need to occasionally. Winter has become my season. I love summer, but winter in the mountains has become very special. And I ski a lot now. I didn't start skiing until 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I love to ski. That's my newest addiction.
That's clear. I mean, you flew to Cody. You hopped in the car. You drove to Jackson. You skied a day at Jackson. You skied another day at Targhee. You drove back.
Yeah.
Skied 2 days or climbed 2 days here in the South Fork, which is no gimme.
Yeah.
And then went skiing in Red Lodge the last 2 days. And then you'll fly out tomorrow. That's taken. That's a full value trip right there.
I was going to try to sneak in another half day at Jackson too, but I decided to beat the weather over the pass.
Oh my God. That's funny. But,
I, if you give me a, you know, give me 9 days, I'm going to pack in as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Till the body says no, but so far it's not. It's feeling good.
And you do a lot of stuff by yourself. I mean, you ski a lot by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't necessarily climb by yourself, but you are traveling by yourself, whether it's in the car or plane or whatever. How do you really enjoy that time? Do you enjoy that alone time?
Well, first of all, it's hard to find anybody that can do the scheduling. But I've always done well by myself. I travel well, put in a podcast or an audio book or just listen to the radio. And I just cruise. I don't have to worry about anything. I can make my own decisions and I'm pretty content by myself. Now I may chat you up on the lift occasionally if you're in the chair beside me, but I do okay by myself, you know. And then when I get up to Colorado and I'm in the winter, I'm going to climb ice, so I'm with a guide or a friend, I see people, and so I'm not totally by myself. But traveling wise, I kind of do that by myself.
I mean, I think it's not easy to be that motivated in Texas by yourself, that you don't always have like a buddy to hop in the car to drive from Texas to go to wherever you're going. I mean, I'm gonna make you force you to answer the motivation question, but we'll come back to it so you get a little time to think about it. But because there's clearly a lot behind your motivation and many different factors and places that I'd be really curious for you to kind of think about that one. But
well, you know, and not to interrupt you, but even going to the climbing gym, you know, we don't have a climbing gym in Longview, so we've got to drive nowadays. We drive an hour and 10 minutes over to Northwest Louisiana into Bossier.
Yeah.
And that's where our climbing gym is. So my buddy Nate and I, we go at least once a week and we try to go twice a week. So we're driving, you know, an hour and 5 or 10 minutes one way to get over there to the gym, and we climb together. He and I've been doing that for several years now.
Yeah. You seem to be, and we talked about this in the last episode I had with Christian, but you seem to be very motivated by the experience and not necessarily by the grade.
Yeah.
Like your motivation's tied directly to experience, not a grade. Why like, and Christian and I kind of went into this because there is so much about grades these days, you know, and I think we judge ourselves by the grades and things that we climb. You know, that's, if we're not at that grade, then we're not happy with ourselves. You know, like that, there comes a lot with that. But you seem to have figured out, like, you want to climb harder things, but you're psyched to just be out.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Boy, good questions. I've never really thought about it like that. I just knew that even if it was WI3, that was kind of all I could do, and it was still really fun and very rad, and I was doing something that made me happy. I just, I wanted to climb WI4 and 5, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Let's be content with where you are right now, because it's really cool anyway.
Yeah. I wonder if it has to do with, because you know, younger folks, you're young, you feel like you can conquer the world. When you got into this, you weren't young, and given your weight and everything else that was going on and your cardio, like, you probably felt pretty lucky just to be doing it at that point.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
The bar was incredibly low.
Yep.
And here you are today doing things that you never thought you ever would have done. So my thought is like, that's where some of it must come, because you're just like, I didn't think I'd ever be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and so how could you not just be happy? I mean, doing something you never thought you'd ever be capable of doing.
Exactly. Yeah. I, and again, wow. You know, I'm thinking back to some of the first climbs I did. I tried to climb a slippery right up Camp Bird Road in Ouray, and I fell off halfway up the pitch, and I was done. I was a huge guy back then, and I thought, you know, okay, we tried. We gave it our best, and it was fun, and I had a good time, but I always felt like I could do better. And so I kept thinking, you know, well, you know, still, you got out in the mountains, you had some fun, you got some exercise, you got to swing tools and try to climb. But, wow, I don't know that I've ever been forced to think about that question.
I think it's I don't think you give yourself probably enough credit. You're happy with your yarn, and I think that's great, but I don't think you give yourself enough credit because you didn't have shit handed to you.
Yeah.
You know, nothing landed in your lap. Nothing, you know, you didn't have, there was no miracles. You pretty much owned where you were and then said, you know, maybe I'm not where I want to be, but I'm still going to go do these things.
Yeah.
You threw yourself at them, even when you knew you weren't the perfect person for it.
Yes.
You weren't the perfect body. You didn't live in the perfect place. I mean, you didn't fall in this chair for just because, hey, you and I went out climbing together. I hope you know that. Like, I think nothing happened perfectly for you. You don't live in, your geography sucks. You used to live in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, you were 300 plus pounds. Like, I think it's remarkable that you're where you're at today, that you kept with it. And I think a lot of people could learn a ton from that. Like, again, nothing was handed to you, you know?
Right.
And everything, your achievements, whether they're the weight, the your motivation, the climbs, I mean, that was you, you know? And I think that's super cool given all the cards that you were dealt with at that point in time, that so many people in their lives want to just be like, life sucks for me. You know, this is just the cards I was dealt. And you know what? And there's some really shitty cards out there that people are dealt 100%.
Yeah.
And you were dealt some, but you owned it. And it was kind of like, I want to do something about it. And it's like, to me from afar, it seems like ice climbing was the thing that opened the door. And whoever your guide was that first day, he should get a serious high five.
Bill Grass.
Bill Grass. I mean, because somebody that was able to open that door for you had to have been an extremely impressive person
as
well.
It's a great experience too.
Yeah, that created, because a different guide could have created a totally different experience for you, and you would have never wanted to try it again.
Yeah.
So kudos to Bill.
Yeah.
But have you thought about that? Like, I mean, nothing was handed to you, man.
Yeah.
You earned it.
Well, it's kind of you to say. I don't know that I've ever really thought about it in those terms. You know, the climbing community as a whole is pretty full of stoke. You know, if you hang around those people for too long, it's going to rub off. I mean, you can't leave the presence of another climber and not have some level of stoke that carries with you, you know, whether they give you the vision of a certain climb or a zone that's really cool, or talking about gear or knots or anchors or whatever that is. And we keep mentioning it, but the beauty of where you're doing that activity is just, to me, second to none. You know, several times we were out the last 2 days, you just stop at a rest and turn around and look, and the entire valley opens up below you. And I mean, that if that doesn't get you excited, then you might need to consider another hobby, because it's just too
maybe
pretty.
It's not for you at that point.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I mean, you've touched a lot of people. I mean, we know a lot of people, and I think it says something about you because of the high quality people that you and I both know together. Everybody obviously, you know, enjoys spending time with you. I think you feed off of them, but I think they're also feeding off of you. I mean, I personally have done that. I can think of one specific moment, I know I've told you this, where I think it was this summer, and it was just some of the things that were going on, and I was sitting at my desk, and you posted that you're out on a ride, you know, doing this, and I was just like, God dang it, like, Steven's doing it. Like, I know Steven had lots of excuses why he couldn't get on his bike that day. And here I am. I had all kinds of excuses, which is why I was still sitting at my desk. And I left my desk and I went out and went for a run. And it was because of you. You know, it was social media. And I think, you know, you mentioned it earlier, like, social media can be this, it can be a very powerful thing, both positive and negative. Yep. I think you can choose which way you want it to go. And maybe that just kind of opens it up. I mean, you mentioned social media has been, you know, a powerful motivator for you. Like, how has social media helped you get where you're at?
Well, I guess I'd like to back up just a comment or two and say that, you know, there are many people out there in Instagram world that do the same thing for me. You know, I've got friends all over the country, and they'll post that they're, you know, what their exercise routine was that day, or what they're doing, or out running, or skiing, or going uphill, or climbing, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, wow. Look what they're doing. Okay. They're healthy. They're getting fit. They're getting ready for the next objective. That's what I need to be doing. So it, you know, the excitement, the motivation comes both ways. I feed off of others as well.
Yeah.
In fact, on Instagram, if I'm following you, you're generally out doing big things, you know, taking care of yourself. You're in the mountains or whatever it is that stokes you. This is no time for negativity. We're just not going to go there.
Yeah. Like, every follow is just adding a new energy source for
Absolutely.
You.
A new zone to go visit, new objectives, new friends, you know. There's people I've been connected with on Instagram for many years. I've never shaken their hand, never climbed with them, never seen them, but I know they're out there getting after it.
Yeah.
So it's two ways.
That's pretty cool. So, any big plans for you in the next 6 months? I mean, we're kind of tail end of winter, but sounds like going to Vail, maybe doing a little designator Fang.
Yeah.
The Fang is giant this year, so that would be.
I saw pictures of it 2 days ago.
Oh my God, it's giant. Yeah. It's just massive. It's crazy.
And again, you know, you just take that. Two or three years ago, I saw it and I thought, I don't want to get halfway up and have to lower. I might could do it, but I would just be spent when I got to the top. But now I'm like, okay, game on.
Yeah.
Let's do this. In fact, maybe two of them in the same day. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my mindset.
So how is this trip to the South Fork? How does this fit in your storyline? Like, What was this trip about for you? Like, now we're done. How's everything kind of settled with you?
Well, you know, Cody, South Fork has this reputation for the approaches, and I've heard about climbing up here for a long time. Well, I think Bill may have been the first one that mentioned. I think he had just come from a trip up here, or the year or two after we met. And he said, oh, but those approaches are so long. So I knew that was coming, but I also knew that it was going to be a pretty special place. And the timeline, well, it's a life experience. I've had a few, but this certainly ranks up there with Shuckson and Stairway to Heaven recently. And, you know, Dave, my buddy Dave and I, we did Gravity's Rainbow. That was a big one. I'm smiling thinking about it. That one pushed me really hard. I got to the top of the second pitch and I said, Dave, I don't know. And he said, come on, man, you got this. Had that moment. And I kept looking up. Anyway, I'm having flashbacks. That was really a good day. And I'm not looking at my phone, but I've got the list, you know, and I start checking things off. If we talk about skiing, I want to ski Silverton Mountain. Okay. At some point, maybe this year, maybe not. That's a big one, but I think my skill level is there now to safely get down under control. I don't know that I'm going to do some of the videos that I see on those big faces, but I want to ski in Telluride in the backcountry. Other things that aren't necessarily climbing related. I want to see the Northern Lights at some point. I want
We
talked about going to Norway. I want to ski out of the Opus Hut. My objective list, I deliberately didn't call it a bucket list. I don't want these things to be before I die. I want to just check them off, you know?
Check them off.
When I see something that's kind of cool on Instagram or hear about it or whatever, somebody tells me a story or, you know, paints the picture, I put it on there. And so the list, someone said the other day, they said, well, you know, that your list isn't ever going to get shorter. You're never going to check them all off. You just have to keep going at it. So, again, without looking at it, those are sort of the, and I really am going to try to squeeze in to go to Utah and ski. I've never skied in Utah.
Okay.
So I want to go up there. If I can pull off Vail climbing and maybe going to Utah, that's probably going to wrap up my winter. I don't know if I'm going to get back to Colorado and climb anymore. I want to, but I kind of got to be sensitive to the time I've taken off. I've kind of pushed it a little bit.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what is your, we're going to go back to one of these questions. What is your advice to somebody that, I'll break this down a little bit more. What is your advice to somebody that is trying to get to be happy with where they are? And also, I think on the same side of that, like, I don't want you to think back to the moment. Maybe it was the moment, the first time you walked into the gym or the first time you got back on that bike and it was like, this is what I'm going to do. Like there was something that triggered that, right? Like there was a mental space you were in. And I think everybody would love to know, there's no magic pill for that, right? Like, so for those people that are listening that are not happy with their ad or not happy with something that's going on in their life, I mean, what was the trigger for you? Can you think of it?
I knew I could be better physically. I knew I could be better. My mental space was pretty good. I knew I was comfortable with who I was as a human, but I knew that I physically could be better. And I guess maybe if I could, I guess go back and maybe even rephrase your question. I feel like probably most of your audience, the people are healthy. You know, they're not big.
Yeah.
But if there's one person out there listening, just one, and they want to change, but they can't figure out how, just know that you can. You can. It's possible. I don't care what age you are. Of course, you know, I tend to be in the older group, but it's possible. You can do it. Figure out what works. And I'm quick to say, not everybody wants to ride a bike for 12 miles an evening. Not everybody wants to get up at 5 or 5:30 and go to the gym, but figure out what works for you. Maybe it's just a modified eating plan and yoga every evening. I don't know what that is for you, but figure out what works in your lifestyle, with your family, with what you have around you. Not everybody has access to an exercise gym. Get some kettlebells down in the basement, in the garage. You know, I follow guys now that have, you know, tricked out their garage and that's where they work. That's their gym. Yeah. Or on the, you know, I follow this guy, Jeff in Costa Mesa, and he goes out on the back patio in beautiful California weather and he swings kettlebells. And I just, I admire him. I want to look like he does.
Yeah.
So, figure out what works. Eating. I'm not necessarily a vegan or a keto or any of that. I try to stress my protein levels And I don't necessarily go by the 1 gram per pound of body weight. I just try to emphasize my protein intake and minimize the other things that I don't need to be eating. Now, that said, I probably could have gotten to where I am a little quicker, but I also don't want to miss out on the family time. Yeah. You know, my son Blake, he loves to watch videos and movies with me, and he wants to make me popcorn. So, you know, a couple evenings a week, maybe 3, sometimes 4, I'll have a bag of popcorn with him. So it means I have to work a little extra long, but that's okay, because
that's okay, yeah.
We're not going to sacrifice all of the family time just because I want to be healthier. I'm going to get there. I know what to do now. And if it means cutting out a meal during the day to eat the popcorn with Blake in the evening, then so be it.
Yeah. I feel like you also set some structure up for yourself that helped you hit those goals.
Yeah.
What was that structure? Was it morning bike ride?
No.
What was it?
Morning. Sunday morning early has always been my what I call bleacher work. I go to the local high school stadium. It's a big stadium, and I go up and down all the aisles. At first, it was just one side of the bleachers. Then it became both sides, and now it's each side twice. And I typically carry my winter pack fully loaded with a rope, all my tools and all my stuff. So when I show up there, they go, "Oh, that's the guy with the climbing." Later that afternoon, I go for a ride, 10, 12 miles. And then Monday through Friday is pretty structured. I try to go to the gym 5 mornings a week. I get up at 5, and I'm trying to be out the door by 5:20. And I'm at work by 7. What I do that in the morning is generally cardio and some weight. At lunch, I go for a walk. I've got a really nice trail system around a lake near the office. So I'll walk 2 miles every day. And then again, when the time changes, I will go back to riding my bike in the evening. Now I'm going to the exercise gym, whether that's elliptical or kettlebells or some level of just getting out and doing something. And I also subscribe to the ice climbing training plan that Evoke put out with you. That was beneficial. That was a pretty impressive plan, by the way. I didn't realize how structured that was going to be. I saved that, and I'm going to use it again. Maybe not even during the winter. I'll just rework it.
I mean, that's when you should be doing it. Summertime.
Yeah.
Hit that thing in the summertime. Yeah.
And then Nate and I go to the climbing gym on Tuesday evening and Saturday morning. So, and then Saturday when I get home from climbing, I'll kind of hang out at the house for a little bit. And then later that afternoon, I get on my bike and go for a, 10 or 12 mile ride. And so it's become, I don't know that I was, I guess compared to what I am now, I was pretty sedentary, but I didn't think I was sedentary back then. I was still doing some things, we were going climbing, even though I was big, I was still climbing in the gym. But now it's, if I've got a couple hours, I'm going to go get on the bike or go to the gym or swing a kettlebell. And I might show up at the exercise gym and not really have a structured plan ready to go. I just pick up a kettlebell and start swinging it, doing something to just sort of get tone.
Yep. All right. I'm going to take you back to the motivation question.
Not going to let me leave that.
I'm not going to let you leave that one. I have my thoughts on it. But do you think you have something yet?
Motivation.
I give you my thoughts.
Motivation. Well, I guess just an appreciation for life.
Here's my thought.
Yeah.
Maybe this will help you with it. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think that 10 years ago, your future was only one thing, and it was continue to live that life that you were living, right? Which wasn't a bad life.
Yeah.
But experiences were probably on the low side.
True. Like
they were different experiences.
I see where you're going.
Family's great, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that day opened this, you found the new room in your house.
Yeah.
That had a whole lot of windows. And that opportunity ice climbing that day opened that room up, and then he started seeing all these other windows of opportunity. And you had a new outlook. The vision looked different than what maybe you thought it was. I think it was probably unexpected to see that, but now all you see are all of these windows of opportunity and experiences and possibilities and things to do. And so you're kind of like a, you know, you're like a kid walking into the toy store, but those toys are experiences.
I would much rather have life experiences than things. Of course, we got to have, you know, some things to live with, but I think you're absolutely right. I've used that expression a lot as hashtag life experience. I think there's something profound when a person sets a big physical and mental challenge and attempts it, and to obtain it is almost secondary, but just to actually be in the moment and attempting the big thing. I think you're probably right. I haven't really allowed myself to think about it that way, but I just really like life experiences. And if it happens to be in the mountains, so be it.
That's awesome. So the goal, I know we talked a little bit about this. You've got some goals weight-wise here.
Yeah.
You don't have 75 more to go because that's not going to be good. but you have a goal weight in mind?
Well, I probably have, I think, maybe 20 or 25 left.
Yeah.
What's happened to me lately, though, is my body fat and my lean mass percentages are sort of crossing. So I haven't lost any weight, but my size is changing.
So you got to be building muscle now, too. So you're probably offsetting with muscle. Yeah.
Everything's fitting differently. My wardrobe, I practically had to buy everything new again, which is really a nice thing. I'm waiting to get to where I need to be before I really start getting the entire wardrobe coming. But I got to buy new winter gear. My kit was new, and all of that was just because thank goodness OR had a large size category for men. I had to buy their, I wanted good gear. I wanted to kind of look like everybody else, but I had to buy the things that would fit me, and that's fine. That's fine. Cause it was allowing me to get out and do things. But now I can buy really good stuff, quality clothing, and it feels good to be there. Really good. My self-confidence is super high. I've never lacked, but I didn't know how good it could be until this transition.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been remarkable to see the transformation. I've been there the whole time, but definitely over the last couple of years, few years. And we had talked about you coming to Cody, probably even the first time we talked, because I think you brought it up. It was an honor to be able to show you the South Fork. The place is incredibly special to me, changed my life. That's why I live here. But I felt really lucky to be able to actually take you out. And it reminded me again how special this place is, and that to never take anything for granted. You know, that experience that day, being out there with you, and just every day I have there is a pretty incredible one. And that I think it's a message for all of us to just be happy where we're at, you know, enjoy that
moment.
Savor
the moment.
Savor that moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I think clearly you've figured out that being happy with where you are, it brings more and more good things.
Yeah.
I'm psyched that you came out. I'm psyched that I hopefully checked all your boxes and met the expectations.
I don't know that my vocabulary is strong enough to express the gratitude I have for you allowing me this opportunity. I wanted to see it with you. Yeah, there's other people that could have taken me out there, but I wanted to see it, as I told you, through your lens, and I wanted to see what the South Fork was all about with Aaron Mulkey. And this won't be forgotten. It's just been an amazing time up here, and you know, getting to travel up to Red Lodge and seeing Wyoming and ultimately Montana. I mean, and that's kind of a life experience. I drove up to Red Lodge, you know, anywhere else you drive 60 miles, let's check that off and go ski. But just to sort of immerse in this environment up here, I don't get this far north quite enough, I can tell you, but very often at all. And so, deep gratitude for allowing me to come up, Aaron, and spend this time with you.
Hopefully it's the first of many trips.
Wouldn't mind that a bit.
Awesome. Any last messages you'd like to put out there?
It's important to go back to the one where, if there's anybody out there that maybe is in the same situation I was in, that maybe they're frustrated, they're struggling, they can't figure it out, they can't put the pieces together. Why can't I lose weight? There's a lot of help out there to be had. If someone wants to reach out to me just for some stoke, I will provide that. I'm not a food person. I'm not an exercise guru. I just try to pick up and mimic what I see other people doing that are successful in the ways that I want to be successful. And that is, lately it's been physical fitness, but certainly climbing and other activities. Surround yourself with people that inspire you. If you're with people that aren't believing, that don't really have your vision, maybe need to find another group. But just know that if you're the one out there that knows you can, but you can't figure it out, you can.
Yeah. I think it's so important to surround yourself by positive people, people that have the same goals or motivation that you have. You know, I was talking about it on a podcast with somebody else, and like, you know, everybody has like one of those friends that's maybe negative, and and sometimes it's like those people aren't really good for you, you know, and it doesn't matter whether you've known that friend for 20 years. Yes. I mean, you can try to help them, but man, if they just want to be negative all the time, you don't have time for that. You know, they're just going to suck you dry, whatever energy and motivation you have. And as difficult as it might be to have to unfriend somebody, sometimes you got to make that choice that there's somebody that's bringing negative into your life.
If it's the difference between living 8 years and 16 or 20, maybe give that second thought.
Yeah.
But I heard it said one time, if a person wants to run a marathon, I think it was, you know, you ask your buddies around at the, you know, breakfast shop, oh, I think I want to run a marathon. Well, they're going to say, oh, no, you don't want to run 26 miles, do you? No. But you ask someone that runs marathons, and they'll go, yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
And let me help you figure it out how you can. So it's all who you surround yourself with.
Yep. Yep. They'll make a huge, huge difference. Yep.
It's all that matters. I mean, I'll say, you know, from a buddy, Nate, and others in the climbing gym, he has been an inspiration to me. He's a fit guy and an older guy. He's not quite as old as I am, but he takes care of himself. And when I started hanging around him, and again, others, I said, here's a guy that's got some age on him, but he's fit. He's getting it done. He's active. He's taking care of himself.
Yeah.
And so I've got it, you know, it's about surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Thanks for coming on, Stephen.
It's been an amazing time, Aaron. I don't know how many times I can say that, but thank you so much.
Well, hopefully the first of many to come.
I'd like that.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.